And welcome to another edition of Ice World with me, marine biologist Nadia Frontier, featuring conversations I recorded when I was in Antarctica with the British Antarctic Survey. This time we meet Ryan Matthews, the winter marine assistant at Rothera Research Station on the Antarctic Peninsula. We worked together in the Bonner Laboratory. That was our modern marine lab in Antarctica. And we also dived together and had some pretty cool experiences. I interviewed Ryan in July 2021 when we were just coming out of our winter season and the sun had risen above the horizon for the first time. Compared to the other podcasts, it's pretty evident to me that we have just spent 8 months in isolation. I think compared to the other interviews I conducted, the energy is very low and we've got quite monotone voices, which I didn't really remember, so it was very interesting to hear it played back to me after Boffin Media had edited it. And I was like, wow, really? Is that how we sounded after an Antarctic winter? Can you tell me a little bit about yourself? What's your background and what drew you here to working in Antarctica?
I studied marine biology over 10 years ago now. Since that time, I've worked in research in fisheries, conservation, marine protected areas. I've worked around the world in ecotourism, and I've also worked in oil and gas industry looking at habitat classifications around the North Sea. What drew me here to Antarctica was the chance to adventure, the opportunities to go on an adventure and to see a remote and unique part of the world that not many people get to go to. On top of that, to continue working as a scientist and a conservation scientist, primarily looking at climate change down here and trying to understand how the Earth's processes work.
Nice. And can you remember when you were younger, a specific moment that drew you into marine biology and wanting to understand and study the underwater world?
I remember as a kid, every summer we'd go down to Brighton on the coast, and every time I was there I wanted to go in the Sea Life Centre. It got to the point that every time we went down I was not allowed to go into the Sea Life Centre because we'd been too many times.
So you're banned. Your interest was banned.
Yeah, my family got bored and obviously I didn't.
Did you have any reservations before coming to Antarctica and accepting a post that is 18 months in one of the most remote parts of the world?
I knew the midwinter would be difficult when we lose the sun. I knew that would be hard mentally. I'm quite an active person and I like to be outdoors all the time. So to be stuck indoors when it's dark, windy and cold for an extended period of time, I knew it was always going to be difficult.
And how have you actually managed to overcome that? Because we're now leaving that period, the sun has come back and the light is increasing at such a rapid rate, but it's easy to forget these 56 days that we've experienced without any sun.
I think I managed it quite well. I kept fit, kept going to the gym and where we could go outside and ski and snowboard. Having said that, this week the sun returned and my mental state, I just feel so much happier and relaxed, and I feel like I've got a lot more energy this week than I have had in the last 6 weeks.
That's great. And from what you're saying, was it as bad as you expected, that period in the winter?
No, it wasn't too bad. We kept ourselves busy. We had a big midwinter's week fun and doing things, lots of activities and keeping yourself busy with work. We were still diving throughout winter, so it wasn't that bad. I guess there's some things in life that you rely on, and for me the sun is one of those, so for it to come back was an enormous feeling of well-being.
I agree. I think it's something that you take for granted and you actually don't realise how important it is until you lose it. So to feel the warmth on your skin again is just spectacular. So talk to me a bit about your job. What does a marine assistant do?
So I maintain the Rothera long-term time series, which is a project that's been going on since 1997. The aims of the project is to identify and understand how the ocean processes change with global climatic forcings, such as El Nino events. So every week I go out and take water samples and also conduct a CTD event, which is a probe that measures conductivity, temperature, depth, and it also measures chlorophyll content and light intensity. And this probe, we drop down to 500 meters and it records every 2 meters. So we get this profile of the water column. We record this every week. During summer, we record this every 2 weeks. On top of that, I take biological samples. So we go out diving, collecting species, which are then preserved and sent back to the UK, where they're analysed and they look at their reproductive viability. And all these can be then related back into the oceanographic parameters that we record and consequently relate those to the global climatic environment variables.
And this oceanographic data that you collect from the CTD, do you have any involvement in the analysis of it? Or what do you do with the data after you bring up the CTD?
The data gets sent back to scientists back at the Cambridge headquarters, where it's then analysed over a period of years. It's a long-term data series, so it's been running for 24 years now, and it plans to run for much longer into the future, another 10, 15, 20 or even 30 years, or possibly even longer. So long-term research is only worthwhile if you do it for long-term.
Yeah, the value of long-term time series. Absolutely. Let's move on from that question. Mm. What aspects of the job do you enjoy the most?
I'm fortunate enough that I get to go diving here in Antarctica. We are the only two divers on this continent during winter, which is pretty cool and pretty exciting. It's nice to get in the water and see the Antarctic species. Well, it's a hobby. I do it back home for fun. I do it down here for fun.
Yeah, definitely a great aspect to the job. Can you remember your first dive in Antarctica quite distinctly? Because this is such a unique environment that I'm sure many divers would just dream about coming to visit.
No, I can't say I can. Not my first dive. I think because since then we've had some really amazing dives that have trumped that. During the summer when we arrived, the visibility was poor, so we only had 1-2 meters of visibility. To say that it was one of the best dives,
it's like swimming in pea soup.
Yeah, it wasn't. But since then, we've had some incredible lifelong memories.
And especially now the waters are clear, it just gives a really different spin on these habitats and what we can actually see and appreciate. So what skills would you take away from this job?
Well, enhancing my scientific career just by looking at oceanographic data and looking at the chemistry as well.
Like working in the laboratory.
Working in the labs and making up solutions and preserving samples. Also just spending time in the Bonner lab and working with yourself, and in the summer we'll be working with other scientists. So we're involved in lots of different projects. We're quite hands-on in quite a number of things. Living and working in the research station means we have to be quite hands-on with all of the other life things that occur back home. You know, we help with the plumbers and the mechs and the carpenters to get the job done.
Yeah. It's definitely a lot more involved than just a standard job in the UK. As a marine biologist, it's very different. You have to be a lot more applied. So how do you feel about a busy summer season that's coming towards us? We've had a quiet winter with only 5 people in the marine team and sharing the Bonner lab between just the marine assistant, the marine biologist and 2 diving officers. Summer will be a big change.
Summer's going to be a huge change. I'm really looking forward to it. There's 23 of us on station at the moment, so it'll be nice to have new faces and new people to talk to. I'm really looking forward to that. At the same time, I know when all these people turn up and invading our space is going to be difficult. So, yeah, there's an element of excitement and I guess there's an element of anxiety.
Yeah, and then opportunity as well, because there's going to be a lot more science to get involved in. We're going to get increasing daylight, so hopefully we can get out and be on the boat a lot more than just once.
Absolutely,
once,
yeah.
Once every so often.
Yeah, the daylight, we can finish work and we can go and enjoy the beautiful Antarctic scenery.
Yeah, be immersed in it, not just looking at it from the window. Have you encountered any challenges in your job or something that you've had to work quite hard at to overcome?
We have lots of limitations on when we can go out on the water and put the boat in the water. That's not something I expected before coming down here. It may be a factor. We've had much worse weather than they have had in previous seasons. So we've had a lot of gale force winds, which meant we weren't able to crane the boat in the water. We've also had lots of brash ice, which meant we haven't been able to travel around the local areas. So that's been difficult. When we have had the good, clear, calm weather days, we've had to work quite hard because they seem to be in limited supply. So that was quite unexpected.
Yeah, get out when you can and make the most of it. And you could be getting out once and then maybe that'll be it for 3 weeks, because we've had all these sea ice events, which is another massive limitation, where the sea ice is forming and then for a period of 2 weeks we're waiting for the sea ice to solidify, and then one weekend it just gets blown out. So that's happened to us on 3 occasions now. Have you ever lived in a small community for an extended period before?
I have, yeah. I lived in Australia in the outback on a cattle station where there was only 4 of us on the station.
Wow, how long was that for?
That only did for 3 months.
Okay, that's still quite a long time.
Oh, it was definitely a significant amount of time. I said there was 4 of us on station for majority of that time. I didn't actually see 2 of the other workers, so it was actually mostly just 2 of us for the majority of the time on the station. And leaving the station, coming back into, I guess, society, the real world, was a challenge, and you don't expect it. So when we leave here, or when new people come in, I kind of have an idea of how I'm going to respond to that. So,
in positive ways?
In positive ways, oh yeah.
At least you know what to expect, so you know how it'll affect you and how you can adapt to it. And you've travelled around quite a lot as well and lived in other countries. So how does this experience of being in Antarctica and being with 23 people for 8 months compare with experiences you've had before? Is it quite different or not so much of a massive culture shock?
Like you said, I've travelled around and I've spent time with different groups and different people and always meeting new people. So the variability in my experiences goes quite well with coming down here, because you end up in a group of people all sort of coming together and meeting each other for the first time, and you have to adapt to everybody around you. The difference is now we've spent 8 months together. That's not something that I've done much of, so spending really extended periods of time with the same people. But
without an influx of any new people, because it's impossible for anybody else to access us.
I'm quite comfortable meeting new people and changing my environment. Staying in the same environment is a bit new to me.
Yeah. A good challenge?
Oh, absolutely a good challenge, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say challenge is the right word. It's definitely
a good experience.
It's a nice experience, yeah.
Yeah, a different one. So we all get to go on 2 winter trips with the field guides. And your first winter trip, you went hauling. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so hauling is where you strap a sled, you put a harness on and you harness a sled to yourself and you drag it across the Antarctic continent. It's a physically demanding way of moving, but it's also quite pure. And being in Antarctica is... you're remote and you're separated from the rest of the world. However, being on Rothera Research Station, you have all the luxuries you could have back home. So having these opportunities to go out deep into the field and then taking it down to the bare minimum and not having skidoos and not having technology to travel, it felt raw and it felt pure and it was quite blissful. So there was, as we're heading across the glacier, there was no sound. You stop and there was absolutely no sound. And yeah, it really did feel like you were in the middle of Antarctica and there's no one else anywhere near. And you're by yourself, you're living and surviving by yourself. It was only for a week, but I would do it for longer.
And there was 4 of you on that trip. There was, so
yeah.
You were... yeah, you have some company as well, which is nice. And how many kilometres roughly were you doing? Were you covering every day?
We covered about 12 kilometres in one day where we were heading. So from Rothera Research Station to the campsite was approximately 12 kilometres. So that took us one day. And then the following day from the campsite, we actually hauled a little bit further, about 6 kilometres, where we were able to climb a remote peak, and then we hauled back to the campsite. So we only did 2 big hauls, and that was from the station to the campsite, and at the end of the week, the campsite back to the station.
And you were pretty exhausted physically. I remember seeing you when you came back. Yeah. You, your body was broken. Like, how heavy is the pulk?
We were dragging about 100 kilo sleds across fairly rough terrain. We were fortunate in that there wasn't a significant amount of snowfall leading up to when we went. So the ground was quite hard, which was easier to drag the sleds over. But there was a lot of sastrugi, so a lot of bumps, a lot of hills, a lot of obstacles to avoid. And that made it quite difficult. But you're right, my body was broken at the end of it.
Yeah.
But I felt fantastic. So
definitely a good physical challenge. So what do you miss the most about being here in Antarctica, and what are you most looking forward to experience again back home?
Well, the obvious answer is friends and family, right? Which I do miss. But I do a lot of surfing, a lot of kayaking, and a lot of hanging out on beaches and sand and swimming casually. And for me, I'm going to get home and I'm going to head straight to the beach. I'm going to surf. I'm going to head to the rivers. I'm going to kayak. I'm going to do all the hobbies. I'm going to do all the fun things in life that I can't do down here.
Do you feel that it's quite limiting, or are you able to compensate with other activities such as snow sports and extreme hauling expeditions?
Yeah, we're fortunate in that we have a lot of variability in like the recreation we can do. We can go skiing and snowboarding. And if we're lucky enough, we get to go climbing and we get taken out of the flag line. So we have all these options to do some fun, extreme sports. But it's not like being at home where you can plan your own missions and you can decide on your own limits of what you can do.
It's planned.
We are working and we do have to be safe down here. So yeah, we can't do what we necessarily would like to do if we were back home.
Yeah, there's this 20%
and keep 80% in reserve.
That's it. So my concluding question to you, well, my 2 concluding questions, what has been your favourite moment so far? If you have to decide and think about the last 8 months, can you pick a single moment that has maybe changed your perspective or inspired you?
Yeah, my favourite moment, 2 weeks ago, we were scuba diving and we had a leopard seal come and swim around us. And that was my favourite moment, because seeing apex predators in the wild is a fairly unique and exciting experience. And we do see leopard seals occasionally from the boats, but to see them in the water in their own element is really exciting and slightly terrifying. I'm very fortunate for the experience, and it's a memory that's going to last forever. And it was fine.
And it was so short.
It was fine. It was just curious. He or she swam around and then swam off.
And it was a juvenile leopard seal. So I guess we potentially still have the opportunity to encounter an adult underwater that is just absolutely massive and really looks like a leopard seal. But it was a short-lived moment, as according to BAS procedure, we have to evacuate the water upon a sighting of a leopard seal, which I think you dealt with really well. Do you think you'd come back? Would you like to come back as the role that you're doing at the moment, or maybe as a different role on station?
I would definitely like to come back. I don't think I will achieve everything I wanted to achieve before coming down here. There's lots of things to do in terms of marine science and also adventure and personal objectives. So yes, I do want to come back. Whether I'd come back in this role or another role, I can't say. I guess that will depend on how I'm feeling when I go home.
When you leave.
And also I think it depends on the team as well, especially down here in the Bonner. We all work quite closely together. So it depends on who you're working with and where your role fits in, I think, is more important.
Like if you were an electrician, you'd work with just one other person? Or do you mean a different team?
I mean
down in
the Bonner. So I feel like I could run quite a few of the roles down here, but I would be best suited in a role depending on who you're working with. So depending on what team you have down here in the Bonner, I think would be a...
Which you won't know
better way of,
until you get here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's nice. Cool. Thanks, Ryan. So that was Ryan Matthews. He did feature in a few hints of my manic collage in episode 1 of the Ice World podcast, if you do want to go back and listen to that. We did record an alternative ending to the conversation, but it's not really broadcastable, so it does end quite abruptly. As Ryan predicted, he did indeed go back to Rothera Research Station. In fact, he's there right now, but not as a marine assistant this time. He's gone on a project regarding specifically the extension of Rothera Runway in the form of a dedicated environmental impact assessment. The survey is super exciting and comprises a variety of different techniques, continuing scientific diving, but also using a really sophisticated remote operated vehicle, in addition to drop down cameras, and some of the imagery is mega impressive. I really do love having live updates from Antarctica whilst I'm in the UK in Cambridge. It definitely makes me miss it, but I'm amazed at the power of technology. If you fancy Ryan's job or something similar, do check out the jobs section of the British Antarctic Survey's website. And if you enjoyed the Ice World podcast, please tell people about it and think about writing a nice review. It really helps us spread the word about the podcast. See you next time for another episode of the Ice World podcast. Thanks for tuning in.